So those are, that's why I'm a huge fan. We've been eating a lot of fish and seafood as of late.
There's a reason for that.
Is that done on purpose on your part?
Yes.
You guys listen. If you listen to our food prep episode, you know Shannon does all the meal planning and everything like that. So obviously ask my input. But when I look, I'm like, yep, that looks good. I'll eat that.
So when you start like feeling like there's a trend, there's usually a method to my madness. And... like, seriously?
Oh, Jess.
That's actually me making that sound.
Yes. This is our podcast studio, folks. I'm not editing this out.
It's just going to be like, do-do-do-do, elevator music right through now.
Yeah.
Dear goodness, dog, this is the longest drink I've ever heard you take.
Oh, my goodness.
You're listening to the Addicted to Fitness podcast, brought to you by Elemental Training Tampa. Now, here's your hosts, Nick and Shannon Birch.
Thanks for stopping by and checking out another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast. 2019 is coming to an end, so we thought we would take a look back on the year that was and maybe share a couple of our favorite episodes from this year.
Yes, because we have had how many, what number of weeks? We've had almost 50.
In this year?
Yeah, because we're only a couple weeks shy. Yeah, so
I think 50.
There's how many weeks? 52 weeks in a year? So yeah, we're just shy of a couple. So it's a lot to choose from when you think about it.
So yeah, so we are going to give just a small selection of those 50 or so episodes.
Yeah.
And give you some of our favorites. Some of the kind of the main areas of discussion or topics, podcast topics that we usually go off of. So we're going to share those with you. Just do want to touch base about the December challenges. They're still going on, you guys, and hopefully you guys are participating in those. They are 3 workouts a week and logging of food. I feel like I did really well on my workouts this week. Yeah. Logging of food lacked a little bit.
Oh my gosh, I failed completely for like 3 days because I was traveling for work. And I mean, I couldn't, this is terrible to say, it's going to sound way worse than it was, but I couldn't even keep track of the drinks I consumed.
Oh, wow.
Because, yeah, holiday parties and get-togethers and lots of stuff going on. So definitely understand that it's going to happen. And I acknowledge that. I'm okay with that. And, yeah, I'm ready to get back on the wagon. I fell off the wagon,
workout wagon?
Journaling wagon.
Oh, journaling wagon, yes.
Yeah, I did my workouts. My third one was kind of half-ass. I, like, hit the bare minimum. Barely got a sweat on. It was just, like, in my hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was really just to move my body in any way. But yeah, my muscles did feel sore, so I feel like I accomplished something, you know. And the good kind of sore. So at least, yeah,
there you go.
Kind of something, but yeah, the journaling was tough this week.
Yeah, I did good with the workouts. 4 straight days of workouts, chest and tries, back and buys, legs, and then did an interval training for Thursday with a steel mace. So that did good, and I think I started the week strong in the journaling, using the Lucid app, kind of documenting, seeing where my how many calories I'm taking in each week, and my Fitbit's telling me how many I'm burning. So it's good to see that it's usually the burn calories in or calories out is greater than calories in.
Yeah.
So that's good and good. So looking good, I should say. Hopefully you guys are doing well also. If you are, please let us know. Let us know how you're doing with it, regardless of if you're having to fall off that wagon or get back on the wagon. Remember, like Shannon said, it's going to happen. But as long as you get back on, that's the key. So share your progress with us. You can send a message to us on Instagram at ETTAMPA or ShannonJP on Instagram,
yes,
guys.
Indeed.
All right. So like we said, these are a few of our favorite things. Episode of the year. So we broke
it. Wanted to sing.
Yes,
that's why we did this episode.
Absolutely.
Now
absolutely,
it's all
guys.
Becoming mm-hmm. apparent.
So the first podcast we're going to revisit is my trip to the Vertimax International headquarters. That happens to be right here in Tampa, Florida, our hometown of Tampa, Florida, I should say. So Vertimax is a very interesting training device. Really helps, you know, build jump and explosiveness. It's like this platform with a bunch of these cables and pulleys attached to it. And you jump and you run, and you sprint, you do all kinds of movements. You can punch. You can do a lot of stuff. And I had the pleasure of getting run through several of these movements by one of the employees of Vertimax, and got to experience the benefits of it firsthand.
Mm-hmm.
So
pretty awesome.
Yes, you guys check out this little snippet from that episode released on January 14th of this year, our interview and workout from the Vertimax Global Headquarters.
So we have bands on top. These four bands right here can all be moved wherever you want them. On the corners, on the rails here. And these bands right here will go off platform up to 10 yards. And then we have bands on the side, same thing. So a big point for, like, you know, any type of group training or high school training is that you can actually train up to 5 athletes on one platform.
Wow.
By doing an athlete jumping on the platform and then the bands going off platform in each corner. You know, nice. We have a lot of people that stick us in the middle of the gym,
yeah.
the court, and have the guys doing dribbling drills off, doing some lateral drills off. Like I said, that resistance is going to remain consistent, so you can imagine that any type of drill that you're doing, you're really just using the Vertimax as a tool to enhance those drills mm-hmm. with the resistance.
Yep.
And then these are your waist-loaded bands, which you can load up at the waist if you're jumping. So when we first started, it was about, I think it was 20 years ago when our owner first made it, his name's Mike. What he ended up doing is, he's a pretty athletic guy. He was a walk-on at the University of Florida. I think he was a wide receiver. I think he did track too. He's in remarkable shape now. I think he's like 60 some years old, remarkable shape. And what he always wanted to do was jump high. He said he can squat almost 600 pounds. He can run like, I don't know, ridiculous 40 time, everything like that, but he can never jump that high. So he's an engineer by, you know, at heart and mindset. I think that's what he went to school for as well. So he ended up developing the platform and he wanted to use something to help him jump. And what he always thought was like, look, if I'm gonna jump, I need to be able to jump at like jump speed and loaded. You know, and like grabbing dumbbells isn't really the safe way to do that. You can do some stuff with a trap bar, but when you're loaded at the waist with the Vertimax, when you squat down, that resistance is gonna stay consistent and you're going and being able to do a full jump with that resistance, mm-hmm. not like a regular band that's gonna yank you down right. or, you know, you're at risk for holding, you know, 50 pound dumbbells and landing on your feet. So he ended up making one. Actually, he made like a makeshift model. I wish I had a picture. Actually, I think he may have a picture on his Instagram, which I can send you.
Yes.
It looks just like, you can just imagine the very first one. But he was training on it, actually in his garage, he said, and a garbage man was, I don't know, taking out, or a garbage man was coming by and stopped him and said, hey, what is that? You know, like, what is that for? And, you know, he explained to him, I'm trying to get my vertical up. And the guy's like, well, you think it'll help for my son? He's a basketball player. And Mike's like, yeah. And the guy's like, of course, that's what it's for. And the garbage man says, like, how much is this? How much will we sell for? And Mike's like, well, I don't know. $800? And the guy's like, okay, I'll be back tomorrow and I'll buy it, you know? And Mike's like, okay, whatever, you know? Next day comes around, the guy shows up, gives him the $800 and sells it. And that's wow. kind of where the Vertimax story came of, huh, if I can make this and sell for $800, you know, more people are going to want it.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it kind of evolved from there. I think he started training volleyball players. And I think the very first unit he sold to, like, I guess to get the name out there to make it was UCLA, I believe.
Okay.
But, yeah, let's get started on the equipment. Right. So if you want to stand on the platform itself and then maybe face me, just kind of get a feel for it, maybe just do, like, 3 to 5 just jumps.
Jumps?
Yep. Good. And what we'll start with first is the waist harness. So what we're going to do, we'll put this on, we'll kind of load you up on the bands, we'll have you do some squats to kind of get a feel for it.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, if you guys are listening, you imagine it's probably what you say. It's about a 3x4 platform, rectangular platform, and it's got the pulley system with the bands on the side, on the outside edge. And then also, like Brett was saying, the waist kind of attachments are down by the side also underneath. So, and it's pretty cool. Like Brett said, you can have up to 5 people training on this. So unlike the resistance bands I use at the gym, sometimes you can only have 1 person at a time and then alternating between. So
you'll feel a little pull on that.
Oh yeah.
This is the blue band. It's going to be about 8 to 16 pounds of resistance, and how I would increase it, if you ever needed to, as you get stronger, you can just basically pull these down and they would pull tighter, and then you would just line them up at the dot that you want, so that gives you that even resistance on each side. So go ahead, actually, let me get these off real quick. Go ahead and do a couple squats, and then if you want to start just doing a couple jumps, go ahead. And so you can imagine now too, what you're doing is you can picture, you know, just picture like maybe like a 10-year-old athlete that's never done body squat or never done any type of barbell loaded squats. Obviously 10-year-old is pretty young for that, yes. But you know, after doing like body weight squats and getting full body control, you know, you can put them on this resistance on the Vertimax and they're doing squats just like that. It's gonna be controlled, they're gonna be able to have full control of their body. It's not gonna yank them back. You see how this arm swivels left and right? So right. Say if you were to jump and you were to come forward a little bit, it's not going to pull you. It's going to swivel back. Even with adult fitness, anybody that wants to get on this and do squats or jumps without putting load on their back,
right?
Easy to do. And then for rehab, I've had guys that I've seen training that coming off surgery for any type of leg surgery and then getting back into it. Instead of, you know, after they get through the body weight phase, they'll get on the Vertimax and use the light resistance.
Yeah, I can see it definitely be a benefit for anybody doing rehab, especially like the athletes if they have an injury and they have to come back, and this would be an invaluable resource for them.
There it was, guys. I can tell you from personal experience that the Vertimax is a heck of a workout. Super interesting, guys. Like no other kind of resistance equipment I've ever used before. And I'm actually starting to see it spring up. I don't know if it's just because I follow them on Instagram or social media, but I'm starting to see it spring up more and more in some of the social media I see for trainers, especially athletic trainers. So I know it's big in a lot of colleges, a lot of training rooms in colleges, both big and small, and getting into high school too, because I've been following Brett, the person I was interviewing on the on that episode, and he travels a lot to kind of introduce Vertimax to other facilities.
Yes.
So another component of the Addicted to Fitness is our interviews. Mm-hmm. And actually, we had several interviews this year, not too interview heavy, but we did get some good ones in. I think one of my favorites was your interview and conversation with Dana Look Aramoto. She's actually a work-life integration expert, so it was something that was a little bit off, I wouldn't say the beaten path of what we normally talk about or whom we normally talk about on the podcast, but I thought it was a great, great addition to kind of our library of health and wellness experts.
Yeah, it was definitely nice to have a conversation with someone that doesn't necessarily talk about like a hardcore fitness, but something that absolutely has impacted and I've really struggled with in my life, that has impacted every aspect of my health and fitness, which is just trying to figure out this mythical beast that was referred to previously as the work-life balance.
Right.
And how you actually integrate that, especially coming from a female perspective. She's a mom. She had to go through postpartum, which, you know, I had a little bit of a struggle with some postpartum anxiety myself, and just, you know, how that all plays together. And it was really fascinating. She is just an amazing individual.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's worth listening just to learn more about her. We found out we had some really kind of fun, common threads that sort of link us loosely in our lives. And she's definitely someone I want to talk to again for the podcast. So definitely enjoy this little snippet. And if it kind of floats your boat, maybe head over and check out the full interview.
Well, and you said a word, integration. And this is a word that I think a lot of people, they think, well, as long as I'm doing, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of that, you know, why do I need to integrate them so much? But really, we're at a point in just society where integration is a lot more integral to our lives. Like, it's not just about the B word, I'm going to say the B word, balance. Work-life balance, you know, private, professional balance. It's just such an outdated concept. But the idea of integration, which I know work-life integration, this is a huge component for you.
It is. And again, so spot on. I'm going to use that. Next time I'm on stage, your ears are going to be burning. Yes. I'm going to say, and the B word, balance.
It's very bad.
B for bad. So balance is typically something people have either learned to believe because of something they've seen or heard or watched on TV or read in the media, or some hero has told them you can have it all. Mm-hmm. You have to do it all, though. Right. Hint, to get it all. So, and then you can be your all. Kumbaya. That it's yep. not true.
Yep.
B is for another word. BS.
Yes, I'm definitely using that one.
And if people believe that, they will run themselves ragged trying to achieve it. And so integration is more about the example I just gave. Maybe I literally do not have time to both exercise on my own and walk my dogs and have a full day at work and help care for my family and do something out in my community and get some time with my husband or partner and a little time with my friends all in 1 week, let alone in 1 day. And those of you trying to do all of that in 1 day, and you know who you are, and I've been you,
yeah.
It is a recipe for mental, physical, spiritual health disaster. So stop it.
Yeah, the B word, balance, inevitably is going, if you're pursuing that, you inevitably leads to the other B word, burnout.
I'm taking you on the road with me.
Anytime, just tell, or if you're ever in Florida, just give me a call.
I would love that. Oh, we could share some great stories. Yes. I have Tampa stories too, I'll tell you that.
Oh, I can't wait.
Ballet and Tampa equals fun stories.
Oh my gosh. Yes, we're coming back to that.
1989. Okay. So the balance piece, you're right, does lead to the burnout piece. And so for everyone, I like to give this image. It really helps. So picture this adorable, like cutest hamster you've ever seen in your entire life. And not to be in trouble with PETA, but put it in like the cutest outfit you can imagine. Okay. So this adorable, lifelike, human-esque hamster is running in the wheel, running. Now, we're going to get Nick to weigh in on this. You personally train that hamster so it can run mm-hmm. a sprint, and it's killing it on the sprint. And then the hamster says, pick me with my paw. I want to do a marathon. And we get the personal trainer involved, and the marathon's happening. Okay, so great. Even the best personal trainer in the world is going to tell you, you cannot run a sprint inside of a marathon.
No.
But that's how we're leaving ourselves completely burned out and maxed out, by that, attempting to yeah. run a life sprint inside a marathon. And that's what we're doing.
Yep, that's exactly true. And I mean, who wouldn't burn out? I mean, it's inevitable.
And we debate the people who are entrepreneurial, and there's incredible quantifiable studies about this, including a lot of Arianna Huffington's work on sleep deprivation, since mm-hmm. it happened to her. bless her for actually doing the study and bringing it into the light. Mm-hmm. There are less than 4% of the population that gets away with sleeping less than 4 hours a night. And so for those of us that think we can just trade off the sleep.
Yeah.
Not true.
Yeah.
And in fact, we're limiting our own performance. When I'm coaching my clients one-on-one, especially CEOs, they're like, yeah, Dana, it's okay. I'll just pull an hour out of my sleep. It's like, great. And when you squeeze the balloon and it comes out the other end of the balloon with the same scenario but on the other side, where do you think the impact is?
Right.
Maybe with your family. It may be with your own health and welfare. It may be with your company, quite frankly, and your staff or your team. So we cannot fool ourselves into believing any longer that there is such a thing as work-life balance. It's a myth.
All right. As Shannon said, I think it was great that we got to have that new perspective on health and fitness, or health, I should say, about the work-life balance. And part I love the most about that podcast, it was that I think Shannon has basically a future in public speaking, because I can't remember how many times Dana was mentioned about taking Shannon on the road with her. So I think, like I said,
I'm going to be like her side act.
Exactly right. Yes, Shannon had a lot of good, especially a lot of kind of catchy catchphrases. I don't know.
Well,
catchphrases that Dana was really loving. So you guys definitely check out that full episode, which was released. That episode was released September 16th of this year. So definitely go back and check that out. So we did a lot of good interviews, guys. So please make sure you check out our website and check out our interview episodes. There's a lot of good ones on there for this year. So another part of the podcast we've been doing probably since the beginning are taste tests.
Yes.
I mean, there's always new foods and new diet fads out there that we're always out there willing to try. I mean, this year we tried oat milk, for goodness sakes.
Yes.
We've tried even made our own milk. We've made hemp milk before. we've done all kinds of different taste tests. We did all kinds of, I mean, this year, honestly, folks, we probably treated ourselves. We did a dark chocolate taste test.
Yeah.
I mean, how hard is that, right?
That was amazing.
It's a rough life, guys.
I would happily read you that.
Yes, anytime. I know you would. So, but probably my favorite taste test from this year, because it's really been, I say it's kind of almost a huge, you know, pop culture trend, is the Beyond Burger taste test that we did. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is not quite the Impossible Burger. They're one and the same. A little kind of different ingredients, but both plant-based burgers. Very similar, as Shannon mentioned. But you guys... if you watch TV, I mean, I barely watch TV, and I see Impossible Burger commercials for Burger King almost all the time. So, and of course, there's a lot of in the news media that I see, a lot of talk about this new documentary called Game Changers about plant-based diet and whatnot. So a lot of kind of different topics about that. But we decided to go and try the plant-based burger, or buy the plant-based burger and try it here. And we wanted to share this taste test episode with you guys as one of our favorite, if not our favorite taste test episode from this year.
So yes, the traditional patty from the Beyond Burger is about a 4 ounce patty, or actually probably exactly a 4 ounce. And usually like their containers we got, it was in our frozen section. And there's two patties in the container. They, serving per container is two. So if you have one of these bad boys, you got about 270 calories. But the important thing to note is that there's 20 grams of fat, 5 grams of carbohydrate, 3 grams of fiber, and 20 grams of protein. So actually the fat and protein on these are like almost exactly even. Then maybe like one percentage point off. So there's no sugars or trans fats or anything. There is some saturated fat, 5 grams of saturated fat, but and then there is some about 380 milligrams of sodium. But it's not like the macros aren't horrible.
Right. See, well, and I know I looked it up. It's more protein than a quarter
than
pound
a burger.
Beef.
Yeah.
Now it's, plant protein is different. I don't know if we absorb that 100%. I'm pretty sure
you're
we don't, but I'd
like
have to. I know pea protein is one of the best plant proteins to absorb. I don't know what, but I doubt it's 100%. So I do want you to read the other ingredients. We listed the four main ingredients, but there is another. There is also a list, and we'll see if Shannon can get through all the names of these.
Thanks a lot. So, yeah, we talked about the water. We talked about the pea protein isolate, the canola oil, the refined coconut oil. And then it says it contains 2% or less of the following. Cellulose from bamboo, which is interesting. I'm not sure they use it as like a texture.
Mm-hmm.
Methyl cellulose, potato starch, natural flavor, maltodextrin, yeast extract, salt, sunflower oil, vegetable glycerin, dried yeast, gum arabic, citrus extract, ascorbic acid, beef juice extract. So that's for color.
Yep.
And these burgers do have a red color to them. Acetic acid, succinic acid, modified food starch, and annatto, which is from the Brazilian bixa plant.
Oh.
I learned that in my
fun fact
botanical garden job. And that's a very common orangey color.
Yeah.
So
additive
that is
to food additive.
It is natural. It is natural.
All right. So, as Shannon said, these do, and they actually say it specifically on the box, you know, cook 3 minutes on each side. Do not overcook. The inside will have a red center, very much like meat. So, as Shannon already said, this is for meat eaters. It's not for vegans. This is basically to add more plant-based protein to your diet.
So, I'm just going to say, like, they look very good, like, as far as a beef.
Mm-hmm.
And they do have, they've browned, they're not dark, but they're browned on each side that you cooked it on, and then the center has stayed that same red color.
So when I open these up, and I'm just going to tell you now, we got it from Sprouts, and I checked online, it's about $6 for the package. So for half a pound, for about $6. Because that's two, it's a quarter pound, so $6. When I opened it, there was a smell, and I didn't know, I was trying to place it. I was like, I know this smell. What is this smell? It wasn't beef. It wasn't the smell of beef. Because I don't know.
Well, that's good. Beef, raw beef does not smell appetizing to me.
And then finally I knew it. It smelled like refried beans.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, interesting.
Probably because of the pea.
Yeah. And
it's
then, but now the smell definitely smells like a barbecued burger, I think.
It does smell more like,
yeah, like barbecued meat.
I would say it smells closer to like a, maybe like a grilled turkey than a grilled hamburger.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has, you know, the coloration, the texture, it's pretty dense. So I mean it feels substantial, and the texture when you cut it open, it looks like hamburger, man. It's a little creepy,
right,
to be honest.
Going for it.
You like the saying, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is. I think that's probably a lot of like meat eaters' mindset when they see this. You took a big bite.
I am.
You took a real big bite.
Probably too big.
You took like a sixth of the burger.
It has initial taste, but then it fades fast. It has initial taste of beef, but then like it's totally fleeting. Like it leaves like instantly. And like there's no, like the savoriness of meat is not there. Like it evaporates essentially.
I'm willing to admit, you guys, I know you only heard a small snippet from that episode, but the Beyond Meat Burger was not terrible. Did it taste like a burger? No, in my opinion. But
I think if we dressed it up, though.
That's true. That is true.
I really do think it would fool you, because it's not the flavor of a burger, but it is a texture thing.
Yeah, and I think it was
close.
It was close. That was good. Like I said, if you dressed it with a bun and lettuce, tomato,
sauce,
mayo, you would not know the difference. You're right. You're right, but you know, it's I don't know necessarily if it's better for you. And I think we talked about that a little bit more detailed in that episode. Go back and check that out. We love doing taste tests because it's interesting, and I think people always, that's one of the biggest things people ask me about when they hear what podcasts we're doing. Like when we tell them we do a taste test, they're like, have you tried this? Have you tried that? So that's always going to be an evergreen topic that we're going to jump into back into in 2020. So, all right, guys, we've had over 50 episodes, like we mentioned, but the most popular episode of 2019 was the advantages and the episode we did about the advantages and disadvantages of the pescatarian diet. Yes. You know, and this was super interesting because I think we talked about this was one of the top diets. I think it's like pescatarian, Mediterranean, not exactly the same, but very, very similar. A lot of similarities. But I remember we did the 2019 diet rankings. Mediterranean was at the top.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the pescatarian, this episode right here was the most downloaded for this year. So the one we would call the most popular. And this episode really came up because there was an article that we saw that the consumption of omega-3s reduced asthmatic symptoms in kids. So omega-3s, which is pretty high in a lot of seafood, we decided, hey, why don't we check out the pescatarian diet? And apparently... Mm-hmm. A lot of people enjoyed the information we shared on that. So check out that episode, the most downloaded of 2019.
Because with a pescatarian diet, usually the ratio of omega-6 to omega-3s tend to be better because you're eating a lot more fish, which contains omega-3s, fatty acids.
And I'm not going to lie. Well, I think when, you know, I've done everything from vegan to vegetarian, to pescatarian, to where I am now.
Mm-hmm.
And pescatarian was kind of my favorite.
Right.
Like, I don't know, it like resonated well with my body, I think, in a lot of different ways. But some of the kind of risks to a pescatarian diet, there are specific things you have to watch.
Right.
I mean, it's similar to if you're only going to eat, you know, red meat, or if you're eating, you know, lots of chicken and things like that. No matter what kind of food you eat, in this day and age, there's risks to almost everything. So you're looking, like, you know, if you're a vegan, you're looking for your organic vegetables and things so you don't get all the toxins. If you're looking at meat, you're looking for farm-raised, organic-raised, and fish, well, I think we've all seen a lot about pollution in the oceans lately. Mm-mm. So...
Yeah, well, and just talking about nutrients, too, like a nutrient density for all those different diets, too, trying to get your full spectrum of nutrients. Like we talked about vegan, tough to get your iron, your full dose of iron and protein, and once again, the omega fatty acids that we talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. Tough when you're a vegan. Obviously, there are supplements, but then you switch it over to like something like the carnivore diet that people just eat meat. You know, it's hard to get, even though some people like to contend that fiber is not a necessary nutrient, that it's hard to get all the different flavonoids and antioxidants that come within or are contained within fruits and vegetables. You're essentially leaving those out when you're doing something like the carnivore diet. So it's trying to find a good balance, you know, that we've always found. And I think, like you mentioned, the pescatarian really gives the good balance because pescatarian diets tend to be, you know, primarily plant-based. You get a lot of your different variety of plants, fruits and vegetables, and also, you know, the other protein sources, beans, quinoa, some other things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then they have the protein source of fish and seafood. So the kind of the benefits we already listed, the omega fatty acids, you know, these have been big things that kind of have been attributed to helping heart health, kind of reducing the chances of heart disease, reducing things like type 2 diabetes. These have been, I said, omega-3 fatty acid intake has been associated with things like reducing heart disease, reducing the chance of type 2 diabetes, and then also other types of cancers or metabolic syndromes. Mm-hmm. So that is a big kind of benefit. One of the, I think, probably the most prevalent thing you hear about benefits about eating seafood.
Yeah.
But there's also a lot of nutrients in seafood that are kind of, I wouldn't say exclusive to seafood, but very high in seafood that a lot of other protein sources might not have. Vitamin D, vitamin B12, and then things like essential minerals that a lot of foods don't have. Calcium, iron. You talk about shellfish. Those are huge for things like copper, selenium. Those hard to get minerals that really aren't in a lot of other foods.
Yeah.
So those are. That's why I'm a huge fan. We've been eating a lot of fish and seafood as of late.
There's a reason for that.
Is that done on purpose on your part?
Yes.
You guys listen. If you listen to our food prep episode, you know Shannon does all the meal planning and everything like that. So ask my input. But when I look, I'm like, yeah, that looks good.
Feeling like there's a trend, there's usually a method to my madness. And... Seriously?
Oh, Jess.
That's actually me making that sound.
Yes. This is our podcast studio, folks. I'm not editing this out.
It's just going to be like do-do-do-do elevator music right through now.
Yeah.
Dear goodness, dog. This is the longest drink I've ever heard you take.
Oh, my goodness.
Editing this out because we share this room with the dog.
So, why have there been more seafood in our daily meal plans, or weekly meal plans, I should say?
Because I've actually found myself, maybe it's because of the change in seasons, maybe, possibly. It's become a lot more summer feeling here in Florida. We actually had an amazing spring. Like, we had fantastic, amazing weather all the way up till basically May. And I feel like only in May have we really started to have some hot days, like hot spells. And maybe because of that, but I've just not been really feeling the whole meat. Like, I'm not a huge chicken fan. I feel like I've been trying to go back to my pescatarian ways. Which is funny that we're talking about that this week because this is for real. It's probably why you're like, oh, we're eating more fish. We should talk about this.
Yeah, definitely.
I just feel like when I was pregnant and even for a long time afterwards, a lot of seafood did not appeal to me at all. Like, it was the opposite. Some of the seafood, like salmon, made me super nauseous.
Shrimp, I remember that.
Shrimp, I could not even be in the house if you cooked shrimp.
Yeah.
And never mind eating it. Like, it took me a year and a half to basically get back to a point where I could eat seafood. And now, maybe because I went without it for so long, or it's the season, I don't know.
Yeah.
We also have a fish market around the corner from us now, which... Having access to fresh, quality seafood options is definitely a major, change.
Yeah.
All right, guys. That's it. That's a few of our favorite episodes from this year, and we've had many, many more. We did the most recently about the Peloton commercial. I mean, we've done stuff about, Weight Watchers. They put out an app for kids. The different taste tests we did. So there's a lot for you guys to choose from. More interviews you can listen to. So we got a wide stuff to choose from, and we really appreciate you guys listening each week. We always appreciate you guys' feedback. So you guys will get all our contact information on the bio. Let us know what your favorite episode of 2019 was, and we will share it on the one of the last episodes of this year. We're coming down to the end. I think we have one, maybe two episodes left.
Yeah, I think there might only be two.
Yeah, maybe less. I think two. I think two. So yeah, guys, let us know what your favorite episode of 2019 is, and we'll definitely give you a shout out and mention it on one of the two last episodes of this year. You got anything else for them?
No, sir.
All right. This has been another edition of the Addicted to Fitness podcast, and we'll check you next time.
Bye.
For all things Addicted to Fitness, you can check out our website, addictedtofitnesspodcast.com. You can also give us a follow on Twitter, @TheATFPodcast, and like and follow the Addicted to Fitness Podcast Facebook page. Last but not least, please give us a rating and review in the iTunes store. Thanks.